Thank you very much, Pastor Mark Mullins, for your kind invitation and the church brothers, sisters. And it's a great joy to see you again. And we have our minister, Sonny, from Southall. We welcome our dear brother in Christ also. And the new brother Ramesh also here. So we welcome Ramesh. And anyone who has come very first time, we cordially welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The extraordinary things are done by ordinary people. Extraordinary things are sometimes done by so-called normal lay people, ordinary people. You heard about D.L. Moody. Sorry for the trouble. Let's see. Okay. So we heard, I mean, all the evangelical world knows who is D.L. Moody. How D.L. Moody was converted? How was he converted? A great man of God, revivalist, evangelist. He was converted by a normal Sunday school teacher. She went after him. She brought him to the Sunday school. And Lord touched the heart of D.L. Moody. So humanly speaking, if that Sunday school teacher were not there, we would have never seen D.L. Moody. Humanly speaking. So this teacher was a very normal, ordinary person. But she influenced and she instructed. She taught D.L. Moody and he was saved. She introduced Jesus Christ to D.L. Moody. Actually, we don't know the teacher's name. Some people may have known the teacher's name. So this actually, church. Now we have read about something happened at Syrian Antioch. So we all know the first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, they were sent out by church at Antioch, at the Syrian Antioch. But how many of us know how this Syrian Antioch church was planted or started? Who started or who planted the church at Antioch in Syria? There are two Antiochs, Pisidian Antioch and Syrian Antioch. So I am now talking about the Syrian Antioch, the Antioch that was in Syria. You know, there are many places with a similar name. So so this church was the instrumental in sending the first missionaries. But this church was started not by great, great apostles, not by great missionaries, not by great evangelists, but this church was started by ordinary people. So now let us look at the text we have read now. 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So, you know what happened at Jerusalem? Stephen was martyred. Okay, he was killed. Then people were scattered because of fear. They moved around and they were traveling from places to places to safeguard their lives. And some of them came up to Syrian Antioch. So the persecuted church produced in God's economy abundant result. So someone said the persecution is a blessing in disguise. No one wants persecution. No one wants persecution. But you know, in India, the persecution is going on. In communist countries, in some Islamic countries, still persecution is going on. But God does not waste the sorrow and the persecution of his people. So that's what, when they were scattered abroad, and these brothers, sisters, we had to really appreciate, instead of being, you know, wallowed in self-pity, oh, we are persecuted and we are wandering and all, we have no house, we have no clothes, and we have, you know, no shelter, and, you know, because of Christ, we are suffering, oh, please pray for us. They were not wallowing in self-pity. Rather, they took a positive step. Even if we are scattered, we will go there and we will preach Christ. So that was the beautiful thing we can observe in these saints' life. Sometimes in Christian life, when we are discouraged, we won't go to Bible study. We will not go, why, brother, you didn't come to Bible study? Oh, brother, you know, I got so many issues, you know, so many things to be dealt, you know. Then I ask, if you stay at home without coming to prayer meeting, Bible study, will it be resolved? Then you stay. Okay, you stay. If you think without coming to Bible study, without coming to church, without reading the Bible, without praying, it could be resolved, then don't pray, don't read Bible, don't come to church, don't come to Bible study. Will it be so? No, it cannot be. The more we are persecuted, more we suffer, more we endure hardship, more should we seek the face of the Lord. So someone said, when you don't feel praying, then pray. When you don't feel reading the Bible, read the Bible. When you don't feel going to the church meeting, go to church meeting. When you don't feel going to the Bible study, go to Bible study. When you don't feel going to the fasting and prayer or vigil prayer or evening prayer or morning prayer or Zoom prayer or WhatsApp prayer, then go to those meetings. You have to act above your feeling. So these brothers and sisters, they didn't succumb to their feeling. They decide, okay, we are persecuted, now we are scattered, now we are not going to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. So that was their bold decision, actually. So this, they went up to Antioch, that is in Syria. This Antioch city was founded by Seleucus I. He was the inheritor of great Alexander, around 300 BC. His city was famous for commerce, business, and also for immorality. It's a good place to preach the gospel. You know, now we are starting, God willing, we are starting a small church in North Kalambu. That place is famous for drug dealings and so many sinful things and all. So if someone said, no, 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 we should not go to that place. And someone said, no, we should go to that place only. They need Christ. They are under the bondage of sin and Satan. Only Christ can deliver them. So we need to praise Christ to them. All are sinners, it's true. But they need more. In the sense, because they are drug addicts, they are wallowing in different kinds of sin, they are addicted to various kinds of sin, so they need Christ. So they came up to Syrian Antioch and they started preaching the gospel. Okay? So in the first century, it was a city more than 500,000 people. Today, it is a city, Turkish city, Antioch. Syrian Antioch, you know, is replaced by Turkey. Right, so the persecution arose. This Antioch is around 300 miles north of Jerusalem. Okay, so they have traveled up to that distance. 300 miles, they were scattered. So how many days they would have traveled? But God had, in God's sovereignty, he does not waste our sorrows. He does not waste our persecution. He does not waste our hardship. You give it to him, your hardship. You give it your suffering to him, he will turn into blessing. That is God, sovereign God. So they were persecuted, but they became blessing to the city of Antioch in Syria. So your sorrows can be blessing to someone. Your persecution can be blessing to someone else. Your hardship can be a privilege to someone in God's economy, because God is sovereign. So this city, verse 19, we say they were persecuted and they started preaching. But very interesting, why did they preach Jewish only? They were Hellenistic Jewish people. I mean, they synchronized their culture, their tradition, everything mixed, the Greek and Jewish, mixed together. So Hellenistic Jewish. Even though they are Jews, but they adopted, so many things from other culture, Greek culture. So they started preaching. And verse 20, and some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Grecians is the Hellenistic. So they preached to the Jewish people and some preached to the Gentiles. So they came up from, Cyprus, the island, and they came up to the Antioch and they started preaching. Who are these people? They are not specialized evangelists. They are not specialized evangelists. They were not trained in the mission school. They were not theologically educated people. They didn't have any degrees. BTHO, MTHO, PhDO, DMNO. Nothing they had. They had one thing, Jesus Christ in their hearts. What you have, you preach. So what should you do to soul winning? If you want to win a soul, you don't need to go to a Bible college. You don't need to go to a theological college. You have to share what Jesus has done in your life and from the scripture who Jesus Christ is. So in a sense, every believer is a priest according to the Bible, and every believer is an evangelist in a sense. So you cannot say, oh, I cannot become D.L. Moody, I cannot become Billy Graham or Louis Palo, or, I am not an evangelist, so I don't need to share the gospel that belongs to the evangelist. No, these people were not so-called evangelists. It is true. God has given some people as gifts. Apostle, prophets, we see, evangelists, pastor, teacher. That is true. But he did not excuse. I mean, we cannot be excused saying. So these ordinary people, when they were persecuted, instead of being, wallowing in self-pity, instead of being discouraged and saying, no, we cannot do anything, we are persecuted, Lord, and, we are scared, they may kill us, No, they didn't say. They went out and preached. So they were full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had already come in the midst of the church. So they were emboldened. They were strengthened by the Spirit of God. They did not fear. And sometimes Satan will threaten us. Devil will threaten us. You'll be persecuted. You'll be killed. You'll be beaten. You'll be assaulted. If you do, don't go. So we should brush it off. No. If the Lord is sending us, then we don't need to be scared of anything and anyone else. If the Lord is sending, the Lord allowed the persecution so that they went around and preached the gospel. Do you preach the gospel? Do you share the gospel with others without any fear, without shame? These people were shameless. I mean, they didn't bother about others. So they were preaching. The third thing, actually very interesting, verse 12, verse 11. I always pray, 11:21, I always pray, Lord, it should happen every day in our church life, in our ministry. What a great joy seeing that. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. I always pray, Lord, this should happen in my life, in my church life, in my ministry life. What a great joy to see when sinners are converted. When sinners are saved by the grace of God, by the power of God, for the glory of God. But a great joy to see that. You know, we read already, you know, we saw, John said, I have no greater joy than to see that my children, my brothers and sisters, are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than seeing sinners being converted by the power of God for the glory of Christ, for the glory of the Father, from every tribe, every tongue, every race. I have no greater joy than this, when a sinner is being converted. Even the angels rejoice, Jesus said. That is the true joy. That is the true joy, actually, for a Christian, for a true believer, born-again believer. The true joy should be salvation and sanctification. Jesus talked about the prodigal son story. And he said, he'll be rejoicing of the one who was repenting rather than 99 who don't need to repent. So even in heaven, we'll be rejoicing. So we should be rejoicing. That we should see that happening in our church life. We should pray for them. We should earnestly, fervently, we should be praying. Never give up. Lord, bless our church. Bring many more sinners converted and added to the church. That the church prayer meeting is very important. You know? So the grace of God produced the power of God to fulfill the purpose and plan of God. So the grace of God here produced the power of God so that it will fulfill the plan and purpose of God. So the hand of the Lord was with them. That is very, very, very important. In our ministry, whatever attempt you are going to make, unless the Lord's hand is with you, everything will be futile, vain, waste. I think Haggai Institute, the founder of Haggai said, if you are doing something, unless God is in it, everything will be doomed. So we should check before we start whether the Lord is with us. When Nehemiah was building the temple, he prayed, Lord, let your good hand be with us and guide us and help us build this wall. So many struggle, so many opposition, betrayal and cunningness, deception. In the midst of all these things, he built the wall in 52 days because he prayed to God, let your good hand be with us, Lord. That is powerful hand, all powerful hand. Nehemiah's prayer was answered, and he built it in the midst of so many opposition and struggle. He built it successfully in 52 days. So the hand of the Lord, if the hand of the Lord is not with us, all our ministry will fail. All our attempt will be fail. That's what we should seek the face of the Lord. We should seek the blessing of the Lord, whatever we are going to do. Lord, be with me. I'm going to share the gospel today. I'm going to preach today. Lord, be with me. I'm going to talk to a Muslim boy or a Catholic boy or Hindu boy or Sikh boy. Lord, I'm going to talk to you. Be with me. Let your hand be with me. Because God's hand was with them, many people believed, repenting from their sin. You know, repenting from their sin and believing Jesus Christ because God's hand was with them. This is very important. So someone said, you can turn people to a personality without the hand of the Lord. You can turn people to a social club without the hand of the Lord. You can turn people to a church or an institution or an organization without the hand of the Lord. But you cannot turn people to the Lord without the hand of the Lord. You cannot turn people to Christ without the hand of the Lord. So these ordinary people, they were earnestly praying. They were shaking the heaven's door. Someone said, when you pray, heaven should rejoice, hell should shudder. So there was, you know, storm in the gates of heaven. Lord, save this Antioch people. They save this London people. Save this Southall people. And the Lord did it, you know. So the phrase believed and turned to the Lord is a good description of the work, both faith and repentance. Okay, now, thank God, people are converted and they turn to the Lord. Next verse says, verse 22, you know. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem in the south. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Because you know Jerusalem, they have apostles. They had special gifts, special revelation. They wrote the epistles, so they were special. So when they heard the good news that people were repenting and believing, these immoral, commercial Antioch people, you know, good for nothing, you know, so wretched people, you know, reprobate, the depraved people, they are turning to the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Okay, we will send Barnabas. The question is, why did they choose Barnabas? Why did they not choose John or Peter? The church at Jerusalem choose Barnabas to be sent? What is the reason? There were Peter. There was Peter, you know, James, and some other apostles were there in Jerusalem church. But why was Barnabas chosen? Any speciality? Any specific reason? Actually, we know the character of Barnabas. Barnabas means son of consolation, son of comfort, son of exhortation. We can take it. So he did already. He found Paul, I mean, he brought Paul and he introduced Paul to the church at Jerusalem. So he is the man of encouragement. He is the man of comfort. He is the man of exhortation. So he's the right person, right candidate, you know? Okay, so he will wisely do all these things. So they chose him. Not only that, the reason is actually, verse 24 says some reason. Why was he chosen? What is the reason? For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. When you choose people for your ministry, character should become first. Their traits should become first, not their talent, not their gifts, not their charisma. The character is the platform, foundation. So Barnabas was a man of character. He was a good man. He had maintained a good testimony, consistent testimony among Jerusalem apostles. So he was testified, tested and proven man, a good man. His character was good, his behavior was good, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Full of the Holy Spirit like this? Some people think like that, full of the Holy Spirit is like this. Like this? No. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is, sometimes that is demonic, many times that is flesh. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do like this. No one was filled with the Holy Spirit like Jesus. Or apostle, they didn't do like that. That is, again, the full of the Holy Spirit means exhibit the character of Christ, full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, his life. He was demonstrating the life of Christ in his life. Because the Spirit of God will produce the image of Christ, image of God in your life. For that purpose only he was given to us. Not just to dance and jump and leap and that is not in the Bible. The Spirit of God, when you are filled by the Spirit of God, you will become really having the image of God, the character of Christ in your life. So here it's very important, when you are involving someone in the ministry, his character should be tested first. More than charisma, the character is very important. So Barnabas was a tested and proven godly man. And he had the heart for the soul. Wherever someone is discouraged, there will be Barnabas. So we should exhibit the character of Barnabas in our life. Many genuine people are discouraged. I'm not talking about people who are wallowing in sin, doing things and all, you know, because of that. Anyway, they also need Christ, all need Christ. But when someone genuinely suffering, I mean, sincerely, sincere Christian suffering, we need Barnabas. We should go. You know, one day, one minister, it happened in Canada. So this minister didn't know what was happening in his own internal, secret, personal life. So he went there and he was encouraging this minister. Providentially, he didn't know what was happening in his life, actually. The Lord actually guided him in such a way that he encouraged and he ministered to him particularly. You know, the next day, that minister phoned and said to him, "Had you not come yesterday and encouraged me, I would have taken a different decision. I was almost thinking about whether I could finish my life." So, brothers, sisters, we need Barnabas. You should act like Barnabas in the school, in the universities, in the office. And as housewife, you can, so many people are suffering. So Barnabas was sent because of his character and because of his nature and because of the special gift the Lord had given him, the man of comfort. Okay? So we said Paraclete Barnabas, okay? The son of consolation. So then very interesting, he went there. Verse 25, then Paul is brought now. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Paul. My question is, why did he seek Paul? You know, Syrian Antioch is here, Jerusalem is here, you know, and Paul's city, Tarsus, in Sicilia province, Tarsus is here. So he's going from here to here to find, the word says he was hunting. For some months he was hunting for his, you know, whereabout. So he was going all the way, trying to cover, you know, and bring Paul. So why did he seek and bring Paul? So Barnabas was a gifted comforter. He had a good character. He would have done everything by himself in the church in Antioch. But my question is, why did he go to Tarsus in search of Paul? What is the reason? Why did he go? Because church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to go and oversee the work, to teach them. And he came, he saw the grace of God that is saving sinners by his grace and mercy. The wretched sinners are returning to Christ. So he saw the grace of God by his own eyes and he exhorted them, encouraged them. So he was doing that. Yet he went to Tarsus to bring Paul. What was the reason? You know, Paul and Barnabas' story, Acts 9. When Jerusalem church was reluctant and hesitant and afraid of Paul, they were not willing to take him in. But Barnabas only expounded what has happened on the way to Damascus, how Lord met Saul of Tarsus, how he was converted, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he is no more our opponent or enemy, he is now our friend. So he only introduced Paul to the church at Jerusalem. So humanly speaking, had not Barnabas introduced Paul to the church at Jerusalem, we would have missed Paul sometime. You see the work of the Barnabas. So we need Barnabas, actually. We know Paul. Of course, Paul was used mightily by God. He's a different kind of apostle. But humanly speaking, if Barnabas were not there, we would have never seen Paul. God may use, you may not be like Paul, but God may use you as Barnabas to bring many more souls. Like Paul. So why did he go and bring Paul? Because Barnabas knows his limitation. He has known his limitation. Even though he is a man of consolation, comforting people, exhorting people, he does not have the knowledge that Paul had. Paul studied under the great scholar, Gamaliel. Paul was full of theological, biblical knowledge. No one was like Paul. So Barnabas knew that he can do only certain things. So he needed the apostle Paul's theological knowledge, biblical knowledge, to teach them more and more deep. So it's a team. So ministry is not one man's ministry. It's a teamwork. One plants, one waters, and God gives the yield. You are sowing, someone is reaping. God gives the yield. So Barnabas was encouraging and exhorting. But Paul came and started teaching theology. He started teaching the word of God. So we need Barnabas, we need Paul. We need saints who went to Antioch and preached the gospel. You see how they worked together to build the church. All worked together because they had one thing in mind. For the glory of Christ, we need to preach the gospel, we need to build the church. That was their main focus. They were not focusing on themselves for their own self-glory, pomp, and power, authority. No, they were not considering at all. Okay, these saints went and preached the gospel and they were converted. Then the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to exhort them. And he went there, he was exhorting. Then he knew his limitation. He knew Paul was there, so he went and brought Paul, and he had Paul teaching them continuously. You see the teamwork. We need all. In God's divine economy, God has gifted people with different gifts. So I cannot do ministry on my own because we as a team work together. Jesus always worked as a team. Paul worked as a team, not one man show. It's God's ministry, God's kingdom, God's gospel, God's world. So we work together as a team, brothers and sisters. So no one was fighting. No, 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 I only brought that soul. The saints were not telling. Then the Barnabas would say, no, 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 I only exhorted. Then Paul would say, no, 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 I only taught them. They were not fighting. They were not fighting for the self-glory. That's what's happening. I did. I only did that. No, they didn't say it. Neither saints, nor Barnabas, nor Paul said. They all were building the church, planting the church, expanding the kingdom of God. Okay? Then verse 26 says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. Paul started teaching, they become more and more Christ-like. Very interestingly, the disciples, the very first time, they were called Christians. They were called Christian. Disciples were called because the ian is something that exhibits the character. Because they knew these people are mad after Christ. You know, head over the heels, they are loving with Christ. Christians, Christ. So they are knit together. Disciples so much followed Christ, they got the nickname, Christians. Did you get the good nickname? She's a Jesus woman. He's a Jesus man. He's a fanatic, lunatic. Always talks about Christ, 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 Christ. Off. Unless people say about you, something is wrong with you. Are we fools? Yes, fools for Christ. Oh, that man, oh, don't go to that man, man. Always talking about Christ, his cross and, you know, sin and, okay. He sold out. Someone said, in Acts 1:15, they had been called disciples. Sorry, and Acts 5:14, they had been called believers. Acts 5:32, they had been called witness. Acts 6:3, they had been called brothers. And Acts 9:2, they had been called the followers of the way. Acts 9:13, they had been called saints. And Acts 24:5, they would be called Nazarenes. Now they are called Christians. To that extent, their life and Christ's life were knit together, incorporated. When people see us, do they see the character of Christ, image of Christ? That's very important. So because of the teaching of Paul, they started following Christ very strictly, intimately, down to earth. Everything, they were expressing Christ. At home, they were manifesting Christ. At work, they were manifesting Christ. In university, they were manifesting Christ. In high school, they were manifesting Christ. So they are called Christians. This is how they work together, actually. So actually, in Latin, the word ending, I-A-N, means the party of Jesus' party. Or someone called Jesus man or Jesus woman. So brothers, sisters, this church at Antioch first was started by so-called normal, ordinary people, laborers, farmers, businessmen, day-to-day laborers. They went out. They were not great literate people. They were not learned people. They had one thing. They had Jesus Christ. They had Holy Spirit. They shook the whole world. Now we have got full of knowledge. We are just shaking and, you know, steering our spoon only. They steered the whole world. Not only knowledge should we have. We have the zeal and the zest and the thirst and the hunger. Every believer, every born-again believer should have the thirst. I cannot keep my mouth shut without sharing about Jesus Christ, without sharing the love of Christ, without sharing the wrath of Christ, without sharing the grace of Christ. If you are truly born-again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul said, love of Christ constrains me every day. Constrains me. The love of Christ constrained these saints. So they went from Jerusalem to Antioch and they preached the gospel and they brought the people together. Jerusalem church, they sent Barnabas to exhort them, to edify them. Then Paul was brought to teach them theology, Bible, the law of God. And they were growing in the knowledge of God, in the grace of God, in the image of God. And they were called Christians. What a teamwork it is. They didn't fight for their right. They didn't fight who is number one, who is number two, or you did that. No, nothing, nothing. We say we are reformed, but we are fighting for self-glory sometimes. We are fighting for our rights, but we say we are reformed Calvinists. What does it mean? All glory belongs to him. The saints would say, brother, you preach the gospel and people at Antioch were converted. They will say, all glory belongs to Christ, brother. All glory. Barnabas, you did a wonderful job, Barnabas. You went there and you exhorted them, you edified them. Oh, what a wonderful job. Barnabas said, I am unworthy servant. What the Lord has called me, I did, brother. Then if you ask Paul, Paul, you came from Tarsus and you taught them theology, the word of God, the law of God. What a great man you are. He will say, I am the chief sinner among the old people. All glory belongs to God. The problem comes when you try to take the glory for yourself. When you try to take the credit for yourself, you are fighting with each other. They didn't fight with each other. It was a teamwork. What a wonderful church that was planted, church at Antioch. And that was the first church again. They sent Barnabas and Paul as missionaries up to Illyricum, the former Bosnia. That particular church. And how it was started? How it was planted? By ordinary people. So God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We are all instruments, tools in the hand, implements in the hands of God. It is God who does the work. So we have to submit. And there will be a church. So will we be behaving, performing and acting like these saints, Barnabas? Whatever the gift God has given, use it to build the body of Christ. To plant, to build, to edify, to sanctify, to consecrate. Use all these things. Wherever you are, whatever you are. You may be a student or housewife or high school student or uni student or working in office, full-time minister or half-time minister or whatever it is. Church at Antioch, that's what I name in the heading, Amazing Church at Antioch. Amazing Antioch Church that produced abundant results for the glory of God. That church, which was started by ordinary people, performed extraordinary things by sending Paul and Barnabas to the faraway mission field, Rome, Illyricum, Europe. So let us work together in one spirit, with one purpose, the glory of Christ. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord. Once again, thank you for reminding us. The gospel belongs to you. The world belongs to you. The cosmos belongs to you. The glory and honor belongs to you alone, Father. We are all instruments and tools in your sovereign hand. We can boast nothing in ourselves. We cannot brag anything in ourselves, Lord. You are the one who elected us, predestined us, called us, regenerated us, baptized us, justified us, sanctified us, guide us, guard us, lead us, protect us, provide us. You do everything, O Lord. So we give all glory and honor to you alone. So use, O Lord our God, us in your divine economy to preach the gospel, to plant the church according to the gifts and the charisma you have given to us. Let us utilize that. Let us use that for the glory of God, not burying into the soil, Lord. Rather, Lord our God, expanding, developing those gifts for the glory of Christ. Lord, everyone is called to preach Christ. Everyone is called to share the glory of Christ, O Lord our God. So we have tested your love. So help us by the power of the Spirit to preach this love of Christ to the dying sinners. Let us work together for the glory of Christ. Let us deny ourselves. Let us crucify ourselves so that Christ will be exhibited, manifested, demonstrated fully. Father, they were called Christians. To that extent, their lives were knit together, incorporated together into Christ's life. So when people see us, Father, Let them see the character of Christ, the traits of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the image of Christ in our lives. In every aspect, O Lord, we pray. Give us the power of the Spirit of God to obey your word at any circumstances. Thank you, Lord, once again for reminding us. We ask everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.